The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart Family Cards. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or whether you should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart. And then share the meals in the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You've got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can do literally anything else.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up with tons of content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spin-off series Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. This week, I did the work. I did the work
Millie
for all you guys.
I
did the Diddy deep dive.
Yes.
And I told Elise every single crime P. Diddy has been alleged and convicted and indicted for since
1991, and it's a lengthy history.
the episode's an hour and a half, and if you want to hear what made Elise go, hey, this guy's a bad guy, it's available on our Patreon. You can buy it individually.
Yes,
you can join us. You can get a yearly membership. Guys, yeah. We're out here for you.
Yeah, we have so many options for you to buy more content from us. And finally, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review, guys. We love our reviews. We need more of them. But the best review you can give us is to tell your friends, tag us in a little story. We'll repost it. You know that we're online.
Yeah, shout out to Deja Lissus, who fucking posted today. And we reposted it.
And we reposted it.
Because that's what we do. We're women of our words.
I said, new story from Go Touch Grass Podcast. Mm. And it's a repost of our wonderful members of Grass Nation. And it could be you. You could be reposted on the Go Touch Grass Instagram story.
And speaking of repost, post, and host with the most.
Wow.
Today we have a very special guest.
Very special.
Directly from the group chat. You may recognize her as our former co-host on The Sup, and she's currently the senior director of multimedia at The Skim and a contributor to The Skim Sports and Culture podcast. Well played, it's Amanda Duberman!
Reunion!
I can't believe it. I listen every week, and all I want to do is chime in, and finally I can.
I know. This is going to be a big episode for the fans. People are excited, and Amanda pointed out to us that this is actually almost exactly 1 year since we last recorded together. We recorded our last episode of The Sup on September 28th.
Wow.
And here we are September 30th.
I'll always remember the date. I'll never forget.
Never forget. Never
Nothing
forget.
Else happened around this.
right.
Amanda, we're so happy to be back in studio
I'm thrilled.
With you.
I'm so glad to see you. Guys.
I know.
Yeah,
it's so,
we're
fun.
So good.
It's so fun.
So much can happen in a year.
I know.
You can be pregnant, at least in my hair can be redder.
Yeah. I mean, really. So much can happen.
So much can happen.
Because, yes, listeners, Amanda is podcasting for two.
I would say heavily pregnant at this point.
You're due. Aren't you due
in
like on
weeks.
The election or?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right
it's like
about?
Right after.
Well, great. Wow. And that'll be fun for everybody involved.
I'll be super distracted either way.
Do you think? Let's game this out. It happens on the day. Do we have the news on in the birthing room, or do you say I'll check in after?
You know, I was talking to my husband about this, and it's like, what if we have it on, and like, let's say like. something, just I don't something like the happens. Way my nurses are reacting to the, to the news. And then I'm like, okay, I don't know if I want you checking my cervix. But my new job is definitely a lot less politics oriented than my other one. So I've been very like, oh God, what if it happens before? It's fine. It'll be
so
fine.
You're early voting then, right?
Yes, of course. We're voting by mail.
Or, yeah, definitely. Good
or
call.
Are you going to pull a Taylor Frankie Paul and go in person right when, that's the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, yes. Like how she went 14 days before she was supposed to give birth to Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you going the day that your water is breaking, you're going to the polls?
Absolutely. Yeah. Of course. It's my civic duty, of course.
Do you feel like you could be enticed to go to Vegas at any point between now and the birth?
Maybe. I mean, babies are expensive.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. If you have a Hulu reality show, U.S. is gonna get to work.
Yeah,
like completely. Kim Kardashian said, no one wants to work anymore. Taylor Frankie Paul is working.
She said, I'm in Vegas.
Absolutely. She is
fully
working.
Gestated, cooked. I'm cooked in Vegas.
And rubbing oil on a Chippendale's body.
She didn't go, Millie.
She didn't go. Elise, this is...
No, Taylor didn't. It was
they
Taylor
went
and
to the pre-show.
They went to the back. They went backstage.
They went backstage.
Hello.
They did. She didn't rub oil. She went, but she didn't watch the show.
Yes.
She got to hang out with the straight for pay.
That's better.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, they're like, oh, you're going to like these Chippendale. Those guys are mostly homosexual.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're straight for pay if I say so for myself. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
All right, Amanda, I have a pregnancy-related question, a pregnancy and social media-related question for you. Has being pregnant changed your FYP? Are we engaging in a lot of mommy content? Are we pinning? What's your relationship to Pinterest in this time? Mm.
I mean, it's pretty horrifying. Like you'll get super, like, I will get TikTok videos that are like, here's the day in my life, 33 weeks and 2 days pregnant. On the day, I'm 32 weeks and 2 days pregnant.
Wow, so you think TikTok knows?
It knows.
How far along you are?
Oh, absolutely, it knows.
Wow.
Maybe it's like reading my other apps or something, but yeah, unfortunately, my FYP has completely converted. I suspect if Whitney does another dance video with her deathly ill child, that will come up. But yeah, but it's kind of like, I miss my old feed a little bit. I do. I've been trying to curate it better, so I'm not. But
and
it's
what
like
was
you watch,
on your old feed?
It was a lot of misandry.
Yeah, like I hate men.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone can hate men legally, you should be able to hate men when you're pregnant. I think that's
like
Kamala Harris signed it into
a lot
law.
Of misandry, a lot more politics, which I don't know about you guys, but like ever since we kind of stepped away from our prior gig, it has been a breath of fresh air. I don't get as much politics. I mean, obviously it's been fun to re-engage because the climate has become a little bit more interesting.
I think that I'm still getting politics, but you know, not having to know when every drag ban or everything, you know, it is different. But
I don't know, like I like forget like which Senate which states matter. I used to be able to like
tell you immediately.
Absolutely.
Like,
and
like,
how was that correlated to your mental health?
Right. Positively. Yes. Sure, positive.
It's like sure, when positive. You knew every Senate race, how is your mental health versus when you got 33 and 2 weeks pregnant?
I mean, I would prefer that than like just pictures come up and it takes you a second to like register what it is and it's like four different colors and types of infant like excrement and what they mean. I don't...
That's tough.
That's
crazy. That feels like to me something that could be like they blur this and it's like, do you want to see the poop?
Yeah.
Or it's like how to teach your husband to do a perineal massage. I'm like, I'm not teaching him. We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
You're not.
Oh, okay. Perineal massage.
It took you get me that a second. For a different reason.
Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, you mean your taint? yeah. Sorry. Can I say some kind of updates on my algorithm? Mm-hmm. And you know, I've said it a lot. You know, I love to watch a white woman get kicked off a plane.
Yeah.
You know, I love to watch a white woman, a Karen video.
One of the simple joys of life.
One of the simple joys of life. Update. Now there are videos, white women getting kicked out of the Spear. There was a really good, the Spear, there was an Eagles concert. This lady was going crazy. I'm like, I didn't even know TikTok. Yeah. I didn't even know this existed. Like, you can't even wrap your head around the content that you want to consume. But the Eagles are at the Sphere. They're doing their residency, and the video, people are going to get kicked
out.
Yeah,
absolutely. I get a lot of people getting kicked out of Disneyland. You get that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that
woman was
recently kicked out of Disneyland. Right.
But then, you know, then you get the backstory, and you're like, because you're seeing like this woman with her two kids, and they're crying.
And they're screaming, Ayuda!
Ayuda!
And I'm like, oh, no!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God!
And then you're like, she snuck in five times without paying for Disney.
And they also just asked her if she would leave or just pay, and she was like, no. And then, like, she did have to be, like, physically removed from Disneyland.
There was justification.
And people, a point that I kept seeing being made, which is very true of Disneyland, is like, Disneyland's not going to make a scene like that unless they've exhausted every other option to remove you from the park, because their whole thing is having everything be really nice and you not seeing a woman being arrested and her children screaming, help me, help me,
yeah,
help me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll say that could only happen in Disneyland, because Disney World famously is, when you're on Disney World, you're on the second floor. There's a whole underground tunnel system.
I think Land has tunnels too.
Well, Land, I don't know if they have tunnels they do have like a back thing, but
they have it's a similar system at Land.
Because they made World, because Walt Disney was like, I'm not going to, because he saw a cowboy in Tomorrowland. He's like, I'm not doing this shit.
Yeah.
World is going to have tunnels. So I'm like, that bitch, sorry, she would have gotten taken underground. Mm-hmm. If she, that happened in Magic Kingdom, she would have gotten taken underground.
I know Disney Jail is in.
Underground.
Lucky she was in Anaheim.
Jail is actually in Main Street, USA. And it's weird room that's like above the fake Main Street shops.
Disney Jail. Wow. I would watch a 70-part documentary about
Disney
the
Jail.
Going-ons of Disney Jail.
In the Banksy documentary, they go to Disney Jail because they get off one of the rides and they stage a fake Abu Ghraib. they are arrested and taken to Disney Jail.
That also showed up on my TikTok algo is Disney Jail.
Yeah.
Like somebody who got sent to Disney Jail, all the things they had to sign, everything. Yeah.
Banksy gets away, but his friend Mr. Brainwash goes to Disney Jail.
Damn, but you can't go to Disney ever again. That's a lifetime ban.
Oh, yeah.
That's a
major
lifetime ban.
Wow. To do that to your children.
I know. I don't know if the ban extends to the kids, but then it's like, who's taking you?
Yeah.
Well, who's taking you?
Those are Disney, like maladjusted Disney adults waiting to happen for sure.
For sure.
Amanda, your due date is coming up, as you said. Yeah. So, as we talked about, content-wise, you know, are you going to show what's going to be your thing with your kid? Are you going to show the face? Are you going to put an emoji?
You know,
are you gonna put like glowy eyes like Summer Walker's baby? What are you going to do?
I'm at the point, like, you guys, I don't know if you relate to this, because you guys are still creating content and stuff. I have sort of gone completely dark and fallen off the face of the earth since I sort of pivoted to a job where I wasn't super like front facing.
Mm.
And so whenever I post, I do lose dozens of followers.
I feel like that happens to me all the time.
Less
I had 20,000 last year. And every time I posted about my birthday, every time I posted like a personal thing, I would lose 100 followers.
Oh, it's so hurtful. I'll be like, I love my husband. It's my anniversary. Immediate loss of 200 followers. Mm-hmm. They said, shut the hell up. This bitch is annoying. Sorry.
It's been less than I thought. Like, I was never going to post any sort of announcement, but then I thought it was kind of adorable that when Joe dropped out and it was Kamala, I noticed my app was like, oh, your fetus is the size of a coconut. And I just couldn't resist. Like, it was just such great content to be
and
like,
you lost 200 followers.
Due in November. I lost fewer than I thought. You know, like, I think I underestimate how engaged our sup fans were and are.
Yes.
Like,
and it is still related to the niche of politics, because we've got coconut tree, coconut baby, Kamala, coconut.
I don't think it's gonna get a feed post, but I'll probably throw them up on the stories every now and then.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, based on what you see from new parents, it seems like you can't. Like in my head, I'm like, I'm never. Who cares?
Mm.
But people seem pretty obsessed with their new babies, so.
There'll
probably be a lot of baby Morty content, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what somebody, Kareem, who was here a few months ago, I'm like so honored to be on his close friends, but he'll do close friends baby.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good
idea.
I know
a lot of people who do
close
friends,
baby. You know what I mean? And then, well, you know, whatever. I think posting your kid's face is fine. I think when we start talking about making content testy, but
yeah, my kind
posting
of
fucking kids is fine. I don't know.
My kind of like operational rule for down the line is I'm like, if this is something that would have potentially ended up in like a family Christmas card, something I would have sent out, something I would have put up in my home.
It was going to the public anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like baby announcement, Christmas, first day of school, like those kind of milestone events, like I reserve the right to post that. I think it gets weird when someone's posting hundreds of photos of their kids or making a separate social media account for their kid
that's public.
They're doing brand deals and showing them in the bath and
stuff.
And that's
where it starts. See how many saves like the videos have.
That's where it starts to get weird. But I think
Andrew's face.
Our producer is just like, ugh.
Disturbing. Whenever there's like a video of like this, it's like, and now people have become accustomed to like calling it out. So it's like, yeah, I'll just be scanning and I'll get some like mommy vlogger and it's like a 3-year-old in a bathing suit at the beach and then it has like 30,000 saves and the top comment is just like, why does this have so many saves?
And it's like,
and it's an excellent question.
And it's an excellent question. And I don't think any of us will love the answer.
Yeah, I will. I definitely like, it's always shocking to me how many people will just, they love to post pictures and no judgment. I just can't imagine myself doing this. Breastfeeding. Like, you just get a lot of, like, breastfeeding selfies.
Yeah.
I can't imagine myself. But I think things change.
Yeah, I'm also...
so overcome with pride for what your body can do.
Yeah,
which I have
but...
not been so far. This fucking sucks.
Yeah. But you're not a tits out girl anyway.
No, exactly.
I'm like, I post my my titties no matter what.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
Not bare titties.
Oh, there's a baby this time, yeah.
Yeah, but if there's a baby, I'll post.
If you were posting titties before,
yeah.
I think you are well within your right
absolutely.
To continue. And you know what? You can start posting titties at any time that you like. But
yeah.
I probably won't be converted to...
It would be jarring coming from me, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be so funny if you went dark on social media and then your first post is just titties out.
I just feel like if you're the kind of that would breastfeed your titty out, no judgment, on the city bus, like without any covering or anything, you'd be posting your titty, you know, which neither of
and
you seem like the type.
And free the nipple.
Free the
and
nipple.
And we support.
And we support. Listen, my nipple's always out whether I notice or not.
Yeah. My nipple's freed itself before.
Yeah.
Kind of without my help. So.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's just because when you're pregnant, they get so big. It's so big that they just creep on. You wear a V-neck and it's like there's areola there.
Yeah.
Well.
The nipple's been freed.
Freed the nipple.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Speaking of social media, but it's like that's our podcast.
We're on the subject.
We've got a couple little short things before we get into the discourse. Number one, I'm calling this hoax watch.
Mm.
There's a hoax about. Mm. And we need the listeners to know and be wary of the hoax.
What about hocus focus?
Wow. Hoaxes focus.
Because you said crime line. Crime line was good.
Yeah, the people who hate political TikTok are going to love hoaxes
focus.
People hate political TikTok?
There's one person who left us a 3-star review and they're like, it should be political TikTok. And I'm like, that's not
the
reason.
No, that doesn't sound as good.
And also... That's not a reason to 3 stars. Whatever. Anyway.
Whatever.
Hoaxes, folks.
My favorite
the
is the 1-star review that said, not my thing.
Yeah. Okay. Not for me. I'm like, wow. Thank you for the one star.
So muted, but couldn't keep it to themselves.
Yeah, exactly. No. Just RDK, not for me. I'm like, okay, that to me is just a don't listen again.
Yeah.
But, all right. Yeah, no. Bring our star rating down. Anyway, please do rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Correct that.
Today's
so what's the hoax, Elise?
The hoax is focus. I'm already not saying it right. Okay. People have been posting. I would say, like, I hadn't seen one of these in a long time.
Yeah.
But you may have seen in your Instagram story, because not only normies have fallen for this hoax, celebrities are going down with this hoax.
Mm-hmm.
People are posting this extremely pixelated text to their Instagram story that says, goodbye, Meta AI.
Mm-hmm.
Please note, an attorney has advised us to put this on. Failure to do so may result in legal consequences. As Meta is now a public entity, all members must post a similar statement. If you do not post at least once, it will be assumed you are okay with them using your information and photos. I do not give Meta or anyone else permission to use any of my personal data, profile information, or photos. So
this is so interesting because this is a hoax, but there's no scam. Like, how does somebody benefit from having celebrities post this?
That was something I was thinking is like, what is the psychology of the person who initially creates one of these? Is it just love of the game? Like, you want to see how far it goes?
I think maybe the first person actually believed that this, because why is this a hoax, right? This is a hoax because you, like they said, you know, on Who Weekly, which one of my favorite pods, You can never opt out of a thing by posting on it.
Yeah,
right?
That's never going to be how it goes.
How it goes. It would be in settings. It would be when you sign up, there's terms of service that they have that you have to opt in by using the app. So, I mean, I think there's something you can like check off to not let Meta AI use your shit. But it's not likely.
Yeah, the apps are doing a lot of crazy shit, but it's heartening to know they're not scanning all of your content for instructions. Like,
yeah. They're not looking at a post as like, oh, well, they posted this. Right. They would probably, in your settings, see if you checked it off. So what you're saying is, why would someone create this post to begin with? And yeah, there's no answer.
I do love that they said, an attorney has advised us to put this on. I'm like, what attorney who's us, what? It's very funny. And I will say that now if you do post this, Meta will flag it as false information. So they
have notable people posted this.
Yes. I will give you this. Yes, is a not people. A complete list.
Oh my god,
but here are some celebrities who have posted this. Tom Brady.
No.
Julianne Moore.
But it's not even their attorney. Did they call?
I don't know.
They posted it.
Oh, no.
Ashley Tisdale.
Oh, no.
James McAvoy.
Yeah.
And there are others.
All these people make
perfect Jessica
sense.
Chastain.
Oh, no.
Like, really high-level people. Yeah. And I will say, again, not to constantly shout out Who Weekly, but the interesting point they made is that if you see someone posting this, you know that they're at least accessing their own socials. Maybe they have someone who helps, but like no one's social media manager posted this.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah Paulson, I heard.
Yes,
yeah,
Sarah Paulson did it as well.
So, yeah.
It's very funny.
So it's not just our friends and family. It's celebrities.
Yeah, so reach out to a celebrity near you. Let them know, like, hey, there's no legally binding Instagram story. This also has weird spaces and stuff in it. No. Like, this is
but that's just by nature of writing. When you hit create on Instagram and type text, the spacing is going to be off.
Yeah, but and
but that's copypasta. Yeah.
But again, yeah, this is a legally binding document is not going to be on the orange and yellow gradient Instagram story. Like, that's just not how
I just love how Tom Brady wasn't like, you know what, this sounds like it would be a bigger conversation with multiple entities.
Tom Brady fell for a fucking SBF crypto scam. That's why his divorce, like,
he's such a big dummy.
He's a football player for how many years?
Professionally, like, hitting the head for
professionally
a really
hitting
time.
The head for 20
have
years.
Have you guys checked out his YouTube channel?
No. Should we?
You know what? No. I watched a couple of videos and it kind of endeared me to him.
Okay. All right.
He's a big dummy. He's got nothing useful to say, but he's just like, if I were that rich and that good looking, I would complain about nothing. I would just be happy all the, and that's how he is.
Oh, so what is it? Yeah, give us
it's just him like in a private jet going from like, you know, an F1 competition to like to the Grammys to the Olympics, and just, you know, with his weird hair that could not be tamed. His hair is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, as we were talking about the Diddy of it all, I'm like, why can't like rich people have normal hobbies?
I know.
Like, and that just sounds completely normal. Yeah. Why don't you like just get on your jet and do shit? Not fucking
be on a yacht.
Be on a yacht. Not like drug people.
That list
and lie
is
about
so
it.
Funny.
I know, because it's such a wide
ranging
list.
They all make sense to me. They all make
sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is very interesting. Okay, we have a quick update, and then we're going to get into the discourse. Mm-hmm. The update. So you guys may remember that back in July, we did an episode where we declared Sepia Bride our grasshole. This was a bride who got a photographer who does sepia photos and then was angry that the photos were sepia. Go back and listen to the episode if you want the whole story. Sepia Bride is getting divorced.
Yes. Sepia Bride is getting divorced.
Sepia Bride is getting divorced. The wedding was in November 2023, so they almost made it a year. Sepia Gate took place in June 2024, episode in July. She announced this via a TikTok of herself crying, if you guys can see. And it says, sometimes choosing yourself looks like this. Feel the heartbreak. Feel the grief. Feel all your feels. Time does heal. I like that that rhymes. And you will get stronger. Be patient with yourself. Choose to love yourself. Choose you. sending anyone going through anything right now the most amount of love, which is very wide ranging. Yeah, anyone going through anything.
I stubbed my toes. I guess I get wide range of love,
I mean,
too.
Huge missed opportunity for her to not post these in sepia.
She doesn't like sepia. And the only other information that I could find, she did a get ready. So that was one post. Then she did a get ready with me where she was like, get ready with me while you learn a little more about me. So obviously I'm getting divorced. And then she just talked about unrelated stuff for the rest of the video.
Olive salad.
But then she responded to this comment that said, trying to ruin a photographer's career just to get divorced in the end is karma. And she posted a video of herself sipping tea to Karma by Taylor Swift, where she says, if the karma is from standing up for myself after paying for a service, then yeah, I got karma. Out of a marriage that was no longer right for me before I had kids and wasted years of my life. Karma. Oh, she's the
worst. Okay, as a Buddhist, I do have to say that is not karma. No, like karma, so. That's not how karma works.
No.
That's not what the concept of karma is. You can't just say that something's karma and not know. Like, guys, let's go. Like,
karma is not just cause and effect.
Well, it is in a way, but not
like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily revisit my wedding photos when I'm having, like, I don't know. I don't really, if I feel like me and my husband aren't getting along well, but I do wonder if maybe if you did, and they're constantly have sort of like a haunted look to them, maybe you're not feeling continually like inspired. Like, I don't know. I can sort of see the sepia pictures to divorce pipeline. However, she did know what she was doing. She knew who she was hiring.
Yeah. She hired somebody who specialized in sepia photos and then got mad at them. But it's just like, it's just indicative of somebody who focuses on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not about not being satisfied with the service.
Yeah.
It's about how the frequency and the amount that she posted.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, maybe if you focused on like going to counseling or picking the right person, or maybe, you know, getting married, it's not about the photos. It's about everything else.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, for the sake of girls, girldom. We don't know why she divorced the husband. Maybe if we found out, we would be like, yes, girl, get out of there. But I do think I have seen in my life, and actually the example that comes to mind to me is Sheena Shea's first wedding. Wow. When you notice that someone is unduly focused on the like public persona aspects of the wedding,
like the pictures, like
the photos. Like, I remember Sheena Shea was really pissed that her entrance didn't like come at the exact right moment, and so she kept like redoing it. When you realize that someone is really just focused on the like, it's my day aspect of the wedding and not the like, I'm marrying the love of my life aspect of the wedding, I think that sometimes that can spell
problems. It's like, Elise, you had your wedding, and, you know, famously, the Mr. Tasty, the ice cream craft did not come. You didn't make a dozen videos
about it. Mr. Frosty or whatever,
right? Mr. Frosty didn't come, and it did. It was
Softy.
It was due to...
You don't dwell on it.
The fire. It did catch on fire.
Because
the most memorable part of that day was you married the love of your life.
Yes. And the Mr. Softy, sorry, I do want to be clear that it was Softy.
Mr. Softy.
That caught on fire.
I
don't want to defame any other ice cream trucks. Mr. Softy caught on fire. And we did have to get ice cream from Safeway as our dessert. But anyway, but the thing is, like, that didn't it's like a funny story that I tell. It didn't derail my wedding because I wasn't. Did I want photos of us getting the Mr. Softy ice cream truck? Like, was I excited for the photos because I thought they would be fun?
Yeah,
but was I
you
like
make a brand
absolutely
out of the fact that
devastated that I didn't get my Mr. Softy photo? No.
Yeah.
So I think you just got to be focused on the right things, guys.
Yeah, focus on the right things. And like,
that's an incredible update.
Getting, getting married is not about the photos. It's about the partnership.
Yes. And if you just want photos, just have someone take nice photos of you.
You can always, like, that's also a thing too with people who put so much time in fucking shit with their wedding is, you know, as a not married person, I'm just like, just buy a nice dress and get someone to take photos, and then you can have more control, and then you're not making 200 people miserable in the process of this crazy
shit. Okay, Millie was miserable at my wedding.
I wasn't miserable. I was going to say there's another notable thing.
And you won't,
to
reference a recent episode, you won't hire a makeup artist who makes everybody at the wedding feel uncomfortable.
Well, this is what exactly. You won't hire a makeup artist. You won't, but yeah, I'm just like, you could always buy, you could get a boudoir photo shoot. You get a nice photo shoot with your pets.
When I think about what we spent on our wedding and how far we are from a down payment for a house, I'm like, that was Did I need that?
But it was nice. It was fun. Nice. I don't know. I'm like, are you going to own a house anyway?
Yeah, I know.
And you're not going to have, and everyone that went to your wedding is probably never going to go to your house. So.
And you had a lovely wedding.
And
as
you
well.
Had a lovely, Thank fine you. Wedding. Thank it you. Wasn't like crazy. Like,
no, no.
Both of you had like a reasonable, fun wedding.
In New York, also.
In New York
which
City.
Nope. I didn't buy people drinks the night before. I didn't buy them brunch the next day. I just bought them dinner. And
Danny and I
it.
Were supposed to go to brunch the next day, and then we were too fucked up to go. So
yeah. No.
Then my parents just went with my in-laws. Anyway, all right. It's time to get into
the
discourse.
Yeah, let's please get into this
speaking
discourse.
Speaking of fancy dresses.
Yes.
Speaking of photos that didn't come out the way people wanted. Today's discourse. A new Glasgow Willy Wonka experience has dropped.
Yes.
Today we are talking about Detroit's
Bridgerton
Ball. I know this is like a new genre of social media thing that's coming to. I feel like this is a very Instagram age thing because people now these companies are creating events that are supposedly for people. I mean, Glasgow Willy Wonka was for kids, but also it's supposed to be like photos and
It's all about photos. Basically, anywhere that you can take nice photos, people will make an event out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So the Bridgerton Ball is one such event. Mm-hmm. So, okay, here's the background. So the Bridgerton Ball that we're going to talk about, it's unaffiliated officially with like Netflix, Shondaland. It's not like
important
actually it's important to know Sean does not involved in this Nicola
and you know
Coughlin's
what they
involved.
Might have to step in if people like I'm surprised they didn't get a cease and desist for this
well because they've had to do stuff before like there was that which is a whole honestly Other, would be a good search history but like there was a Bridgerton unofficial musical that there ended up being a whole bunch of back and forth with Shondaland and that was a whole thing there also is this other event that is like an immersive series that if you've seen pictures of people at a Bridgerton event, it's probably this one. It's called The Queen's Ball, A Bridgerton Experience.
I think I've seen that.
It's been to 11 cities, but it's never been to Detroit. And it is not a scam. It's like a real event.
Yeah, it looked like, yeah.
So if you've seen pictures of a Bridgerton type event, it's probably that one, which kind of, in my mind, contributes to what happened here because people might have signed up for this event thinking, oh, it's going to be like that one that I've seen.
And what happens at the one that you at the one that you've seen versus, so, yeah.
So let's talk about what was supposed to take place. So the Bridgerton Ball in Detroit, guests were encouraged to dress up. I think this is standard for any of these Bridgerton events. This event also said they were going to name a diamond of the season.
Basically a costume contest.
Yeah, basically a costume contest with a chance to win $2,000 for best dress.
Yeah, that's really fun.
I'm showing up in a costume. Yeah, I'm going to try to get the $2,000.
Yeah,
for sure. Tickets started at $150, but could go as high as $1,000 for special packages and stuff.
Whoa.
And the price I saw most people online saying is that they paid around $300 for the event.
Whoa.
So I think maybe like there were upcharges to have. I don't know.
Probably
exactly.
Like more food or access and
or
stuff.
Yeah, free food. Whatever. There was something that a lot of people were saying they paid $300, but the price ranged.
But this is not like a $15, let's go and we'll leave early.
No.
You put money
you're
down.
Looking
you
forward
put money
to this.
You want to get basically you're it's an excuse to wear it. The whole dress and the getup and feel like you're in a Bridgerton ball
which is fancy and like it's just
which
fun
would cost,
fun,
yeah,
it's a fun thing
cost
to do.
That like, much ahead yeah
they're the plates are cute
yeah you
the
go with
tea,
your friends
you go with your friends exactly you're drinking champagne
yeah like I love shit like that
I know totally. I've been looking up my goal like I want to go do one of these at the Versailles the Palace of Versailles has
they have
these
that big
balls that you could you know you rent the dresses and you go and they have like a big like rave in the but everyone's dressed up and
yeah
shit.
I would pay for it $300 to $500 for that for sure
it's like even cheaper but anyway I'll share the TikTok
so this Bridgerton ball red flag number one right ball was originally scheduled for August but it was canceled and rescheduled to September 22nd this happened 3 days before the event they canceled it rescheduled and they were like we're not offering refunds So,
but could everyone who bought the tickets like
yeah,
have the tickets
it transferred?
Honored?
But if you were like, oh, I actually can't make the other date, you were SOL, which like, you know, a little bit of a red flag there.
Yeah, but
okay,
shit happens.
Oh, and also the event took place at the Beaux Arts Building in downtown Detroit.
It sounds nice.
Yeah it's Beaux Arts. It sounds very nice. So, what actually happened at this event? Now we know what they were offering. Mm-hmm. let's talk about what went down. So
violin players too, right?
Yeah, they were saying music, food, photo ops.
Yeah, when I hear Bridgerton ball, I have a very specific.
Yeah, yeah, violin.
Yeah, yeah. And then the violin, big thing is this costume contest, picking the diamond of the season. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to win $2,000, mm-hmm. which again, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to win $2,000.
Lighting too.
Yeah, exactly. That it's going to, and it's like, I think it was taking up this whole building. So you're expecting kind of like a big convention.
A ball.
Yeah. Haunted, a ball.
Not haunted house, but like experience.
Yes, yeah,
right.
Immersive experience.
Mm-hmm. House of Yes, but
yeah. Well, honestly, it will get a little House of Yes. We're going to get to
that. Yeah.
So pretty much immediately after the event took place, people start going on social media to be like, this was fucked up. Like, this was not good. But it really popped off with a Twitter thread from Rachel Eaton, a.k.a. Ray Lee Arts, who tweeted on September 24th. So this is 2 days after the event. So this is the first tweet. Thread about the Bridgerton Ball scam in Detroit that I and hundreds of others spent $300 on. So I think a lot of people, whatever the $300 tier was, a lot of people use that one. For starters, never go to an event that's being run by, are you ready for it, Uncle and Me LLC.
Damn.
And the N is just an, it's like not Uncle and Me, it's Uncle N Me.
Oh, no.
LLC. Okay. Never go to an event. Me. Never go to an event run by Uncle and Me LLC. Disorganized, dishonest, and will take your money guilt-free. Okay. Heard. I'm not going to go to an event by Uncle and Me LLC.
Guilt-free. They don't even feel bad about it.
No, they don't. And actually, that'll bear out as we get further into the story. So she says, as we know, the event was originally planned for August. It was canceled and rescheduled for September 22nd. I ended up getting sick and couldn't go. They did not provide refunds, nor did they respond to anyone's email asking for one. At this point, I knew I got scammed. LOL. The company lied, saying the original venue wouldn't accommodate their guests. And then she included a screenshot from TikTok of someone who said they worked at the original venue and said, who said they tried to have it at my job and we had to cancel it because they wouldn't pay the remaining money to rent the venue. So that's why they had to cancel the first one.
No way.
They tried not to pay the venue. So then they go to Beaux Arts. These pics are from the Channel 7 news story about it, since I didn't actually go. Glad I didn't. People waited outside in the rain to get to the overcrowded first floor. So this is, like, outside. You can see people
waiting. And, like, ball gowns.
Yeah, and, like, you have your whole... You're trying to win $2,000. You have your whole fucking get-up, your wig, your whole thing.
I love that Chiron on the Channel 7 news says, I just want my money back. In quotes.
And, like, you can see just all these people with their gowns and stuff. I watched a TikTok of a gal who went talking about it, and she was like, they weren't checking tickets. Like, it was just completely disorganized from the jump trying to get in, which actually reminded me of when we talked about the Star Wars hotel, how they had everybody waiting out in the heat to get into the Star Wars hotel, which is
But
like,
then they're charging $5,000 for a weekend.
Yeah, and it's like a lot of these things, when you go to like a super high level, well done experience, it starts in the line. Like they have entertainment in the line, usually at Disney and stuff, like the line has shit going on. And I remember when I went to the Harry Potter studio tour, there's fun stuff to look at in the line, like while you're waiting. That's something people do.
It's part of the experience.
Well into the event, there was nothing to do. People were bored and just sat on their phones. So this is a picture of the event, which looks like just an empty room and then people in Bridgerton dress, literally a woman just sitting on the floor on her phone.
Yeah, it looks like there's not enough seating.
And you know, like how like in the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, they would do all of the tryouts like in a sad hotel. And people, it looks like
it looks
like
they're
waiting
hotel.
To find out if they like made the roster.
Diamond,
It also, it's so empty, and you would expect with an event like this, not that everything's going to be decorated head to toe, but I would expect like there to be stuff on the walls.
I think this is why everybody, like Uncle and Me, is like, let's just do an event and tell people to dress up, but. You can't just put on, like, you're right, things have to be like head to toe, top to bottom. They have to be completely transformed.
The floors where stuff expensive. Is happening.
You need the light, but this way, you need lighting, you need drapes, you need, like, in that space, I would have a bunch of fucking tables with cards that people could play bridge at or whatever.
Yeah.
Or even Uno. Who knows? Like
also,
something.
You can tell the lighting. You can see from the top. This is just lights that are in the room.
Yeah.
Can we put a purple
light bulb
in here?
That's the ballroom. That lighting
here?
Is hideous.
Exactly. But it's like, but they just want to make money and they don't think about the experience. Because I'm like, you could make a pretty dope thing. If like 500 people are paying $300.
Yeah.
You could make, but you'd have to spend like most of the money. Yeah.
I feel like Bridgerton Ball, like, yes, it's a lot of work ahead of time to make it, but then it runs itself. As long as you've got the dancing, drinks, nice lighting, vibes. At some point,
just
you can have
Michael's.
Someone be like, Lady Whistledown just printed something and hand something out.
Oh,
to people. Like,
yeah,
that'd
be
fun,
right?
Be like, oh, there's a new Lady Whistledown, and it comes about. You could have some choreographed dancing of people doing like old timey. Like, there's a lot to
but,
be done.
There's a lot
but
of programming
also,
for sure.
Something with the other Bridgertons, like balls or whatever, is that they'll usually do like 3 or 4 nights in a row because it costs so much to set up.
Right.
But then after you set up that one time, you do it over and over again. And then that's where the profit comes in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. You could. Why don't we do our own fucking Bridgerton
Ball? I know,
I'm like,
should we just host a Bridgerton Ball
at this point?
So the live music that was advertised was just this one lonely violin player that they clearly have in the corner.
Poor girl.
She, you know, I'm sure she was doing her best.
She was doing her best.
Whereas, like, you associate Bridgerton and strings with, like, massive... Like, they're very, the sound is very voluminous. It's very big.
And quarters. I'm like, they could have gotten a 5-piece, 10-piece.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Like, you don't need a full orchestra, but get, you know, 5 people together. And then they do the thing where you play the modern songs, but the classical version, and we're good to go.
Yeah, they could. But, you know what I mean? Uncle and me didn't want to spend the money to make this a premium event.
No. And to that point. Backdrops and decor are on Party City Dollar General level. They didn't even pay the photographer, and the pictures were a hassle to get if you didn't get airdrop. Millie, I want to give you a trigger warning here because for Android discrimination.
Wow.
There was Android discrimination at the Bridgerton event.
It's everywhere. I'm like numb to it at this point.
We've got a lot of issues, but this is where.
Yeah,
this is where you lose me.
You know, I just want to prepare you for what you're about to hear. And we know it's wrong, and we don't agree with Android users being treated the way they were treated at the Bridgerton Detroit event.
Just it's part of the story. We have to confront it.
And you know, some people have privilege, and they don't even see like the discrimination that we face day to day.
Yeah,
and
but
that's
this
why
is
we're
one
exception.
Yeah, and that's why I appreciate
and
you.
And it's like you go to the Bridgerton event to get away from that.
Yeah,
to get away. You're in the Regency. You're going to discriminate against Androids in the Regency era.
Wow.
How is this happening?
Well,
it's wrong. But okay, so we've got a picture here. I guess they did. This is like where they did have decor. It's just two kind of like weird thrones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lighting
and some
could not
fake
be worse.
Flowers. Again, lighting is clearly just whatever you turn on when you walk in the room. But here's where the Android discrimination comes in. So apparently, they didn't hire a photographer. But whoever was taking the photos, they would just airdrop them to you.
Okay, but they took the photos on their phone or with a camera?
I guess they took them on a phone.
Just like
I'm
an event organizer, somebody running around, one of the uncles?
Yeah, I think uncle or me was just taking photos on their phone.
See, but that's not true because if it's an uncle, they have an Android. So.
That's so true. Your uncle in Detroit absolutely has an
so
Android.
It's and me for sure.
It's the and me.
But if you didn't have airdrop, then you had to, you got a number from them. You had to text the number, your photo number, and then that number would text you back your photos.
They could have gotten a photo booth person. They could have gotten a professional photographer. Like, people do this in nightclubs. Like, that wouldn't even have been that expensive. They could have paid this guy $1,000, $5,000, and they could have gotten... a whole bunch of shit.
I feel like most, not to bring it back to weddings, but like the photo booth technology exists for us to just email the photos.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't understand.
I went to like a bar, like a kind of clubby, like brunch place, like a Caribbean brunch place in Williamsburg. And they had a guy who like would go table to table and take a picture of you. I mean, this was my job when I worked at Dave & Buster Times Square, is that you would go take a picture of a group, be like, do you want this picture? They're like, yeah. And you sell it to them for $20 framed. Yeah. And it probably cost them like $3 to make.
And my guess is that one of the things that like made your tier go up was photos and getting photos and stuff. So for this to be the photo setup is fucked up.
You guys got to put on this production.
Yeah, we got to do it. I'm like, I'll do it better.
Your logistics.
I know. I'm just like, I can email people photos. Right. Like,
yeah, you could email people photos.
Like, and here's another one of the backdrops. It's just like flowers printed on a sheet.
See, but at least, you know, with our GoTouch grass backdrop, we could do way better than this.
I know. The thing is, Millie and I have made a better backdrop than
this. I mean, it's really, it's giving like prom at a hotel in a district where the budget, the education budget has just been completely decimated.
I don't know. I feel like hood proms are better than this.
I know you're right. I think you are right.
The lights are right.
The lights are right.
They dim
fucking
lights a little bit. These lights are crazy.
These lights are crazy, but I'm also like, I went to like, my school was not rich, whatever. We had a racist ass theme of like a night in Harajuku or a night in Tokyo. Because it was like around when Tokyo Drift came out, so everyone was obsessed and Harajuku girls. So we, but guess what? My high school, we had Chinese takeout boxes, like, and then we had koi fish and bamboo in the middle. That was the centerpiece of everything. And I'm like, extremely not accurate, whatever. Yeah. No, we did not pay $2,300, and it looked good, and it was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
And we're not saying it's right. We're just saying it was on point.
It was not, but it was better than this. That's all I'm saying. And Temu and Amazon exist. There's no excuse.
Yeah, there's
this
just no
worse than you can even imagine. Obviously, listeners will look at the pictures on the GoTouch Grass Instagram. But
exactly.
Well, there I'm we appalled. Go. And there's a Grass Nation member right here who knows what the fuck is we're talking about.
So we post the pictures on the Instagram. You'll be able to see them. Also, according to the thread, food ran out after an hour, and some of it was raw. So some people bit into the chicken or whatever. It was raw.
And that was, I assume, raw chicken, not a Bridgerton-era delicacy. No. This was
I don't think so.
I mean, if you really want to be about it, like, make chicken salad, like, tea sandwich bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
and cucumber sandwiches go a long way
for
one
real.
Of these things.
Anyway.
And the poor caterer probably didn't even know. They probably were paid next to nothing. They were like, this is, like Elise said about Spirit Airlines, it's like, you get what you pay for. They probably paid barely anything for the catering.
The catering definitely didn't know, because the caterers are wearing, like, Pittsburgh Steelers shirts and stuff. Like, they're not, that's another thing, is, like, the staff is not dressed up Bridgerton at all, which at least Glasgow Willy Wonka experienced. Mm-hmm. The people were dressed up.
They had, your doppelganger.
My doppelganger, the Oompa Loompa, had a wig on and shit, and then we had the unknown, that 16-year-old girl with the crazy mask. Like, they at least dressed them up.
I think that's really going to take me out of the Bridgerton experience.
There's literally a picture of a lady in a Steelers jersey serving
like macaroni and cheese and fried chicken that's underdone.
Yeah, they clearly didn't know, or were not. They were like, no, we're not dressing up.
Yeah,
they could have got Panera catering or something. I don't know.
And now we get to probably the most viral aspect of the event. Ladies, put your headphones on. We're going to watch a little video. So this is a video of the live entertainment. I'm going to play it for you, and then Amanda, why don't you tell our listeners what we just saw? So, Amanda, why don't you tell our listeners what exactly prompted that woman to say, I don't remember this in Bridgerton?
Well, we are beholding what is a beautiful woman, a beautiful woman. She is wearing a bikini or lingerie that is not, has no Bridgerton era affect, just a red. And she is pole dancing. She is pole dancing in what is an otherwise completely empty room. It almost looks like it were like a performance art. Yeah. It's just a totally empty white room. And she is pole dancing to some strings, at least.
I think it's like a Sia cover.
Have
fun cheap thrills or something.
Yeah, I do feel like they got the Bridgerton soundtrack in some capacity. Yeah. What she's dancing to does seem Bridgerton-y.
It looks like when you're watching like exotic dancers like show you how they practice just alone in their apartments or studios. So that is what the spectator is remarking they don't remember from Bridgerton. Again, not even like Not even a ruffle on the
That's
outfit.
What I'm saying. I'm like,
she didn't know. Like, there's no way she knew what she was there for.
We'll get into it because the cut actually interviewed the dancer. And so we do get some information about what she did and didn't know.
Well, I want
to
hear it.
Some people were are like, they had a stripper. To clarify, she's not a stripper. She is pole dancing in lingerie,
right.
Which is still an odd choice for the Bridgerton ball.
Oh, in that case.
It's still strange. And also, I'll get more into the interview in a second, but like, this woman also does like acrobatics, aerial silks, like all these other things. So she had other skills that I think would lend themselves more to the Bridgerton ball.
Aerial silks would have actually been appropriate.
Aerial silks would have made a lot of sense. She told Uncle and Me LLC, these are my skills, and they said, we'll go with the pole dancing.
Oh my God.
So, like, they could have done the aerial silks. She also is one of those people who can do, like,
contortion.
She can hang by her hair and, like, spin around and do that.
Wow,
also
they really
have been
misused her.
But I feel like they have, like, aerial silks kind of contortion shit.
Yeah.
Like, in Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it would be that crazy for there to be kind of a circus-y performance with people in semi-Bridgerton-y garb at the Bridgerton ball.
It's specifically the anachronism of this 21st century style of pole dancing.
Yeah.
And I will say that while the clip we watched, she's dancing to Bridgerton-type stuff, they do eventually switch to moves like Jagger.
Wow.
She's eventually dancing to moves like Jagger, and she said that that was specifically requested by Uncle and Me LLC because they felt like the vibes were getting off.
Oh, no.
And so they were like, put on moves
and
like Jagger.
Imagine looking out into this crowd of like impeccably dressed people, and they look so confused and disappointed, and you're just doing what you were hired to do.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the world of non-union acting.
Like, literally, that is so many non-union jobs where it's like, oh, no one knew I was going to be here, and everyone's extremely confused, and now I'm, like, doing improv, and everyone's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Why are you doing improv?
Yeah.
Okay. Besides the lackluster event itself, they promised a cash prize to the best dressed, and it didn't happen. So nobody got the $2,000 prize.
No one was the diamond.
No one was chosen as the diamond. Like, they do in all the other Bridgerton balls, they choose a diamond. No diamond was chosen. And they had an itinerary with contradicting information. So they did give, like, a little printout, like, Lady Whistledown thing, but it didn't actually correlate to, like, what was happening at the event.
No, Uncle used the $2,000 to pay off a gambling debt months ago.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. It's crazy to say you're going to get $2,000 and then...
Or just choose a diamond and don't pay them.
Yeah. Not even choose the diamond.
The diamond is crazy.
Is wild. And it doesn't seem like... From what I was watching, I don't really understand if the event was staffed. Like, who was ever going to choose the diamond? Was there a costume competition where people walked across the stage? Because when I used to do PotterCon had to come up because there was a costume contest. People entered. They walked across the stage. It's a whole fucking thing.
Even if they had that, I'm sure people would have liked it.
I watched some videos where people were implying, like, there was not an organizer to be seen. It was just the vendors.
Yeah, it seems like it was just... Like, they let all these people in ball gowns loose in this venue, and there was no one, like, hosting doing anything.
Just, you're not, there's no Shakespeare Club in fucking Detroit where you get some guy who, you know, got his BFA in acting that can host this shit.
Right?
Like, what's up with all the Renaissance Fair people?
But Millie,
like,
you keep assuming so purely that their goal was to curate and
a Bridgerton ball,
a highbrow experience.
But I'm just saying it wouldn't. I know
dozens of very sweet people.
But I'm just like, it wouldn't even have been hard.
No, you're right.
Like, this is like
this
kind
could have been like a low investment, high return endeavor. But they didn't try it at all.
So the one costumed character that we do know appeared is that they had a queen, Charlotte. They had someone appearing as the queen, but she also caused problems because you would go to take photos with her and she would immediately hand you her business card and start talking to you about her business and being like, you got to follow my business.
Oh my
What's
God.
The business?
I don't know. No one said. There was just multiple people complaining.
She
being
does
like,
taxes.
That she was like, you would go up to take your picture with the queen and she would try to hustle you to follow
that
her small
so
business.
Funny.
Oh my God.
and she would be like, follow me on social media or whatever. So like one woman whose TikTok I watched, she posted her picture of her with the queen, and she's standing kind of far away because she's like, I didn't want to engage with the queen because I saw the way she was engaging with everybody else, and I didn't want to like have her weird business card or have her make me take out my phone and follow her on social media and stuff. So the queen like was there, but she had her own agenda that was unrelated to Bridgerton.
I bet she was like, I won't charge a fee as long as you let me promote.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, if you paid her $2,000 for the night, she wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who knows what she was paid. I will say that the pole dancer did get paid. She says that she was paid and she was paid her fee. Because I was worried that we were going to find out
that they didn't pay.
So let's get into the pole dancer, because her name is, her stage name is Tink the Fairy.
Okay.
And The Cut interviewed her. She's a dancer, circus performer, and aerialist who specializes in aerial sling, Lyra hoop, and hair suspension. So she could have done any of these things.
Everything except for pole dancing would have been fun.
They specifically requested the pole dancing.
Oh my God.
Have they seen Bridgerton?
But also I'm like, if you know Bridgerton, like, not to say that women don't enjoy pole dancing, but I'm like, it's a mostly a woman centered show.
Well,
so
you can imagine like back then, like people appreciated the type, like somewhat objectifying entertainment involving women, but then like you said, do the aerial silks.
Yeah,
love that. Do a sexy aerial silk.
But it's like, I'm just like, you think a group of women that like are into romance and all that stuff, like, and want to wear big gowns, want to see pole dancing? I mean, it's not like it doesn't counteract, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's not my first form.
She also says in the interview that she had different costumes for different, I guess she said she had done a Gatsby event, which it does make sense to have a pole dancer at a Gatsby event, I feel. And this was the costume she wore at the Gatsby event. Is it giving Gatsby? I wouldn't say that either. But yeah, she like gave them a variety of costumes to choose from, and they also chose that costume.
Okay.
And I'm just like, can we put some gloves on? I mean, I guess maybe she needs to grip the pole. But we could.
She could have put a funny wig on.
We could have had a wig.
A big white wig.
We could have had a wig. We could have had like a little
bloomers,
skirt,
ruffles.
Yes, something that says Bridgerton. Something that says Diamond of the Season. So here's a quote from her. They just told me it was a Bridgerton ball. I'm not too big of a fan of Bridgerton. I didn't really know what it was, but I did look it up before I went, and it was like horses and carriages. I packed a bunch of different costumes, and they approved the one I wore when I got there.
Okay. Which was just like a red bathing suit, like a red bra
and
underwear.
Red string bikini. She looks great, but
absolutely,
it's not Bridgerton.
No.
It's not giving Bridgerton. And then here's a quote about the performance. They played two Bridgerton classical songs for the first two stage performances, which was really fun. For the last stage performance, they put on moves like Jagger, which was very uncomfortable. They said they were trying to switch up the vibe of the event and make it more upbeat.
Why wouldn't you put like a fun trap song? That would have been more fun.
Moves like Jagger is such a funny choice to be like, Bridgerton, moves like Jagger. Why?
I just like how they surveyed the scene and they decided the problem with everything was the vibes of the music.
Do we have any insight on Uncle and Me, like who they are?
So now we will get to Uncle and Me, because Uncle and Me has since responded because of the fallout. So on September 25th, so that's 3 days after the event, Uncle and Me LLC co-founder Chelsea Beard released the following statement on her personal Instagram. Comments off. The statement is now gone from her personal Instagram, by the way. Deleted already. Dearest gentle readers.
No!
Yes.
No!
Yes.
No.
Yeah, she went there.
Yeah, that's a reference to Bridgerton, if you don't know.
We understand that not everyone had the experience they anticipated at our event on Sunday night at the Harmony Club, and for that we sincerely apologize. Our goal was to create a magical evening, but we recognize the organizational challenges and unforeseen changes, including a last-minute venue and date change, impacted the experience for some guests. Unfortunately, some non-refundable deposits from the original bookings resulted in losses on our end, which added to the challenges. Please know that we are working diligently to address all concerns and will be reaching out with further details shortly. Readers, they have not reached out with further details shortly. This has been deleted.
I wonder why she deleted it if comments were off.
I don't know, but it's gone. I went to her Instagram and it's gone. Uncle and Me LLC's Instagram, their last post is just advertising the ball, which I'm like, bold.
And was it the original venue that said oh, we had to cancel it because they didn't pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Or at least according to a TikTok comment from someone who says they worked, gotcha, at the original venue, that's why they had to pay. So then, gotcha, this says that, like, they had non-refundable deposits from the original that created issues with the second one. But it's like, yeah, so that's why you
cancel
just
the
pay
event, babe, or just, yeah,
for the, you just pay for the venue and then you can keep all your deposit. Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
how much money did you lose versus gain, right, by not paying for the venue? It, yeah, doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
And also, that still doesn't make it okay that the second event was really shitty.
Yeah.
Like, so also, Uncle and Me LLC has taken down their website because I clicked on it. 404, page not found. Mm-hmm. And they have now changed
their... Did
they
take it down or did they not pay the bill?
That's actually an excellent question. We actually don't know the answer to that. And the company is now going by the name On Event Management Company, mm-hmm, on Eventbrite. So they're just trying to rebrand, I, yeah, guess. They're not going to be Uncle and Me LLC anymore.
They want to be excluded from this narrative.
And a Facebook group called Bridgerton Ball Scam Detroit has more... has more than 900 members.
That's nice.
It is a community. Yeah. They have more than 900 members, and they are discussing a class action against Uncle and Me LLC. So that's where things stand as of this recording.
$300 for 900 by 900 people. That's a lot.
That's a lot. And if anybody paid the $1,000, come on.
Come on.
Yeah, I would definitely sign on to that class action.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just be, it's, I don't understand why people put these events on. Because it is a lot of money up front to, yeah, do this. Even shitty. Like, I imagine renting out the entire Beaux Arts Detroit is a lot of money. So why do it so badly that everyone's going to ask for a refund and be pissed off?
They don't want to lose any money. But it's also, yeah, like, that's kind of like you have to lose money your first event so that the second, third, and fourth are profitable.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of people and institutions and organizations like naively think like you can just throw stuff together and it's an event. No, it's why weddings again are so expensive. Yeah. Like if you're going to have a blank space, the amount of work that actually goes into that. Yeah, they were way in over their head.
Yeah, it's just bizarre to me, the thought process behind, mm-hmm, it. And it seems like Uncle and Me LLC was a event management company, so I'm like, you should know,
yeah, good point, yeah,
a little bit about how to do stuff like this. And it's like with this company and the one that did the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience, your business is destroyed. You, yeah, have to completely change the name, mm-hmm, of your company and completely distance yourself and move away. So it's like, why not just actually do the Bridgerton ball,
yeah,
if you're gonna put on a Bridgerton ball?
Yeah.
Do they have any defenders?
I've not seen anyone, yeah, defend it. I mean, I guess maybe the members of, maybe Uncle and Me, sure, are defending. But,
sure.
But I have not seen anyone, wow, saying like, no, it was good.
This is also just sort of, I feel like it's tarnished any entity that in the future wants to put on a Bridgerton ball in Detroit. Everyone's just going to be sus. Everyone's going to be like, no, I'm not. You're not going to trick me again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the end of our discourse for today. You know, we might end up with updates like CPA,
yeah,
Bride.
So.
This, watch this space, because we've got a class action coming. We don't know what's next for Uncle and Me. But now I do think it is time.
For
and we're
grass-hole.
Very excited for this week's Grass Hole of the Week. This
don't get too excited. Not as excited as he gets.
This topic was handpicked for our former fans for the group chat. We're gonna,
yeah,
go. We're gonna dive into a little bit of U.S. politics for this one.
Yes, this week, Grass Hole of the Week. It was competitive this week.
It was competitive
because there are people.
This guy had competitors.
Yeah, because there are people right now harassing Beaux and Yang because they don't know how sketch comedy works.
Oh, mm-hmm.
There are people out there saying, like, who just fundamentally do not understand how FEMA works, how government works. So there are competition. There's a lot of always.
But you know,
there's
what?
A lot of dumb people.
We
in
now
the
are only not contractually obligated to talk about all of those things. We can just pick,
yeah,
one we want.
We pick one we want.
We no longer have to talk about horrible floods.
Yeah. But this week, again, like Elise said, is Grasshole, but also a political TikTok,
mm-hmm,
kind of segment. This week's grass hole is none other than Mark Robinson, the Republican nominee of North Carolina. Now, I have to say, Mark Robinson, very important to know that he is a black man, but he is also a typical 2024 Republican guy who says a bunch of problematic, incendiary shit, right? Robinson's history of controversial remarks includes mocking school shooting survivors, his past support for total abortion bans without any exceptions for rape or incest, which is even radical for even Republicans, and of course, disparaging the civil rights movement.
You know specifically what he called school shooting survivors? He called them prostitutes.
What? No. What?
Yes. Like as I think he's trying to imply they're like crisis actors or something.
But
like
prostitutes, but they're kids. I mean, you know what? That hits. I mean, do I agree with it? Do I whatever? But prostitutes. I don't hate it.
Prostitutes. Wow. That's what,
no. I'm just like, once in a while, the right comes out with some really good fire. I will say nothing else that this guy says. So why is he Grasshole? And why is he Grasshole, guys? It all starts with this beautiful website called Nude Africa. The world's, and this says, this is the tagline, the world's most amateur black adult site.
The most, is it the most amateur or the most black or the most, or all of
the
it?
World's most amateur black. Most I think it's amateur. Okay.
So and it's most amateur?
Yes. Yes, it's the most amateur, which given this old webpage, you would say it's giving most
they
amateur.
They use the same web designer as the Bridgerton Ball, for sure.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to go in our slideshow because you'll understand when you see this.
So, again, some of the, like, things, again, I'm just going to give you a feel, right? Black Movie House, Straight and Gay Films, The Ebony Collection, Black Girl Cinema 4, Black Studs, Amsterdam Cams, Members Uncensored, 11 Million Pictures, Nude Africa Archives. Like, these are the different categories on this website, right? So, what about this website? Well, it seems that Mark Robinson made a series of inflammatory comments on this website's message board more than a decade ago. And the main one, the big standout, is when he referred to himself as a, quote, black Nazi and expressed support for reinstating slavery.
What?
That's what he was right in the comments of Nude Africa.
Does he think he would be exempt? From
I'm gonna keep reading Elise,
I don't want to get too much into the ideology of all this
and I will say if you're really interested CNN had a really good report on this like really fucking good with videos and everything not videos of the side but video proof
I don't know if I need the
video proof right and despite a recent history of anti-transgender rhetoric Robinson said he enjoys watching transgender porn and a review of his archive messages found he would also refer to himself as a quote-unquote perv. Okay, prominent Republicans in North Carolina have called on Robinson. They're like, he's just going to prove that he wasn't behind the post. On Thursday, like last Thursday, Senator Ted Budd and Representative Richard Hudson, chair of the National Republican Congressional Committee, said Robinson needs to do more than just say he wasn't involved. But guys, that's going to be really...
Oh, he's denying it?
They're saying, he denies making it, but that's really, really hard because there's so much evidence, right? So on the Nude Africa website, both comments and on his profile, he uses the name Mini Soldier, and it offered numerous details that aligned precisely with Robinson's personal history, right? In his profile, Mini Soldier listed his full name as Mark Robinson.
That's quite the clue.
Yeah. We have more. And disclosed a private email address Robinson used elsewhere online. In 2012, a user responded to a comment by calling Mini Soldier Mark. So even people knew. Mini Soldier mentioned in 2008 that he's been married for 18 years, which corresponds to Robinson's marriage to Yolanda Hill in 1990. Oh, in 2011, Mini Soldier wrote that he'd been married 21 years. Mini Soldier wrote in 2011 that he lived in Greensboro, North Carolina, the same town where Robinson lived at the time and currently lives.
This is so much personal information to share in the comments of a porn site.
Okay.
I know. It's so funny because, like, the comments of a porn site are actually a place where it is very easy to be completely anonymous.
But I feel
so such an unforced error.
But I feel like that's maybe the culture now with Pornhub, YouPorn. But I would say that when we were more of a message board oriented internet, it was about community and people did know each other. And I will say, in his defense, it was his family, the people on Nude Africa.
Yeah, those were his people.
Well, so, that's like my reaction to this is like, this is why we need to bring back third spaces. So
well,
that people can find community and commiserate anywhere else but the message boards of porn sites. The fact that this man had to find community.
I mean, where is his community? He's a black Nazi. There's not even a lot of third spaces for him. I do want to share you more proof, right? In 2012, many soldiers said he served in the army in the 1980s during the same period of time as Robinson. Again, he said that he would make sexually graphic comments that detailed watching women in the showers of a black, historically black college that his mom worked at. Robinson's mother worked as a custodian at North Carolina A&T State University and HBCU, located in Greensboro. Both Mini Soldier and Robinson often posted about the same topics online, including reviews for remote control helicopters, their attraction to specific celebrities, and their favorite Twilight Zone episode. Mark would post that this was his favorite Twilight Zone episode, and Mini Soldier would post that it was his same, right?
This is indisputably Mini Soldier is Mark Robinson.
So if that wasn't enough, the Mini Soldier used the same weird sayings that Mark. So here are some of the weird sayings.
Like, I'm a black Nazi.
No. Even weirder. He would use frog's fat ass, right? So Mini Soldier would say, I don't give a frog's fat ass where that bid came from.
Oh my God.
And Mark Robinson on Facebook said, note to the newspedia, I don't give a frog's fat ass about Bill Cosby, Mike Brown, Mike Brown's mama's baby daddy, Ray Rice, or that heifer who talks smack about Obama's kids. And then there's another post where he said, I don't give a frog's fat behind who Serena Williams married. So that's his saying, right? Frog's fat behind. Another one. I don't give two shakes. So that's another one. This was him, like, I don't give two shakes of my black ass about them Mexicans, right?
Okay.
And then on his Facebook, that was Mini Soldier that said that. Mark Robinson's Facebook said, Dear Pop Coasters, we don't give two shakes of our behinds behind about that yellow-haired swimmer being robbed. So, right? Then,
this is excellent reporting, as you said.
Gaga Maggot is another one. And then Dunderhead is another one, where it's just like
Mark Robinson is the only person that says that.
Exactly.
Gaga Maggot?
Well, you want me to use it in context?
Yeah, could you use it in a sentence, please?
Butterfly. So this was, okay, the first one is a post by Mini Soldier on December 27, 2010. Butterfly McQueen don't know nothing about no religion, nothing. Taking cues from a Hollywood Dunderhead is a good way to end up stupid. Of course, this was all misspelled. August 6, 2016, Mark Robinson on his Facebook wrote, hitting an uneducated pop culture dunderhead with the truth is like throwing scalding water on a dog.
Okay.
So
what
I think
about gag a maggot?
Gag a maggot. Gag a fucking maggot. Get that fucking commie bastard out of the National Mall. And that was to Obama's inauguration speech. And then Mark Robinson said, Facebook needs to do something about these whore profiles. Craigslist ousted them. Facebook can do it too. Hashtag gag a maggot.
Okay, I don't think I'm any closer to understanding what gag a maggot
means. It's just like, fuck me twice and call me Susie. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like one of those sayings, like.
Yeah, I just, that one's not clicking for me. I do like frog's fat ass.
I might incorporate
frog's fat ass.
Frog's fat ass is my favorite. Honestly, of the four, frog's fat ass is my favorite. You can tell in 2017 when he said frog's fat behind, he was trying to go more wholesome.
Yeah, he's getting into politics.
Right.
Yeah, he's getting into politics. So again, Robinson would have become North Carolina's first black governor if elected. But he also, It was important to note that when Trump talked about him, he talked about Mark Robinson. He said, this guy is like Martin Luther King on steroids. And it's so crazy because the things that Mark Robinson said about Martin Luther King Jr. Is problematic. And
in did he say these in the comments of a pornography video or just
out in general?
Yeah, good.
He said, and this is what he said. He said, I'm not in the KKK. They don't let blacks join. But if I was in the KKK, I would have called him Martin Lucifer Coon.
Oh my God.
Robinson responded.
It is very funny to note, well, I can't be in the KKK because, you know, I'm black. They don't let black people join. And it's like, well, yeah. So that's kind of like the big problem.
And I assume like he said that and North Carolina Republicans knew he said that long before these comments on Nude Africa, but now they're calling for him.
They haven't called for him to step down, but Trump is distancing himself, and we will put this on the slideshow. Nothing can be more evidence than when he did a campaign event this weekend, and again, Trump is not fucking with him anymore, so he did the campaign event with a cutout, like life-size cutout of Trump and Melania behind
him. No.
That's so funny. So, and also just to clarify, he's currently the lieutenant governor and he's running for governor.
He's a current new lieutenant governor, yes. Okay.
So he currently is in charge of important things.
That's
wild. And of North Carolina and a, you know, a place that needs help.
Yeah,
and,
like literally there, our good friend Katie Ruth, her parents live in Asheville and they've been posting and sending photos. Their house is okay, but like Asheville is completely underwater. So the fact that their lieutenant, the state also now has a lieutenant governor that's embroiled in a deeply bizarre controversy is not helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like his racist comments on a Nude Africa porn website might have made it easier for a black woman to earn the electoral votes from his state, ultimately.
We could only hope. And also, I will say, I'm surprised that it's on a Nude Africa and not, but his wife is black. I mean, it's really the psychology of this man is really interesting.
Yeah, I went to North Carolina the weekend this happened. My parents live there and I was shocked. I saw a lot of political ads, but I didn't really see any for him or because I think they were just like, just pull the money.
Yeah.
Just it's over. Just pull it.
And he was already pulling behind, Stein. So,
well, the black Nazi, it doesn't sound like he's going to be happy when North Carolina gets its first Jewish governor.
Well, he's got a lot to figure out.
I mean, this is a perfect grass hole because, and not to preempt the saying, but like he really needs to go touch grass, get off of the fucking website, go talk to some, talk to real people at least.
Talk to Yolanda Hill, your wife.
Yeah.
I'm sure she has plenty to say to you.
Right.
Because what the fuck is this?
Well, another thing that's come out about him is that there was like a, basically like a porn video store owner who was
He
would come every week, bring a whole pizza,
take
the pizza in the back room, eat the whole pizza, and then come out. And he was doing this every single week. At the time that he was doing this, those back rooms were pretty notorious for also
for jacking
having,
off. Yeah,
for jacking off and also having glory holes all over them.
Oh,
so, and he's like really anti-gay. He said stuff that has implied that like gay people should be killed. Mm. And it's like, you're eating pizza and sucking dick in the back of a store.
Or getting your dick sucked. By who? Who knows? Yeah. About this amount.
I mean, he is his worst fear, and maybe that's why he's so suspicious of it.
Yeah, he's sexually confused.
Yeah, well, I'm also just like, this is again, like, his community is all around sexual deviancy and I mean, whatever, it's not deviant to, you know, eat pizza in a glory hole place, but I'm just like,
he would call it that though if it was somebody else.
He's the type of person who's like, drag queens are trying to feed pornography to your kids at school, like crazy stuff like that. And it's like, you go to a porn store every week and suck dick there.
Like, I mean, porn should be between a married man and a married woman who doesn't know what their husband's doing and Domino's.
And just random penis that you don't know to it belongs.
Actually, I take it back. I feel like he's eating Papa John's. I feel like he doubled down with the Papa John support after the Papa John said the N-word. Mm-hmm. So for the crime of commenting on Nude Africa, we're going to tell Mark Robinson, go touch grass. Amanda.
Wow. What beautiful. A beautiful reunion.
Beautiful.
Beautiful reunion.
This is incredible. I mean, tell our listeners where they can still hear you, see you, follow you.
And also, I'm around. You have a really cute wiener dog, and people well, yes. should
that
know
can
that.
Be followed.
He,
yeah.
he
can
is,
be followed.
He is still creating content. Like you guys mentioned, until recently, I was the co-host of the Skims Sports and Culture podcast. It was very confusing to a lot of people that know me why I was talking about sports, but we did it. We got it done.
I feel like fun. It's not confusing at all. You've always tag sports.
Yeah. I've always been, especially of women's sports. I'm handing it over to an incredible new co-host. Her name's Caroline Hendershot. She's a Jets reporter or a reporter for the Jets. So she is equipped to handle a lot of the NFL stuff, but I will still be appearing as a contributor. It was very sweet. A lot of our listeners, like they commented on some of the videos posted, like, oh my God, Amanda's actually like at the mic again. So I will still be there. I'll be chatting. I can't shut up about the WNBA. You can find me there. Follow at the Skim. I will probably not post pictures of me breastfeeding, but I will let you know when the progeny is here. Don't unfollow.
Don't unfollow.
Guys, if you follow Amanda from this episode, do not unfollow when she does the baby reveal. Yeah, that please. Is rude.
That is rude.
When I exploit my baby for financial gain, I need you all there by my side.
Well,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Diapers are expensive.
Yeah.
Diapers are expensive.
Too expensive.
All right, guys, you can follow this podcast and see all the pictures from this episode, which you are going to want to see at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. You can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram or EliseNavidad on TikTok.
You can follow me at Millie_Tamaris on TikTok and on Instagram. And you can follow me at Millie Tamaris on Twitter because I'm there, baby. I'm hanging in there.
And until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.